You may open your Bibles, I wish you would, to Hebrews chapter 6. I can't tell you because I don't know the extreme peril of the times in which we live. I do know that it troubles my heart continually, not only what I see around me, but what I see within me and what I don't see within me. A heart inflamed toward the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't see that. It ought to be. But it's not in, is it in you? Oh, God, help us in these days. Heard a man say one time, there's a bunch of preachers around, and said, looking at what's going on in the world and thinking about our children and grandchildren, he said, how in the world are they going to get through it? And the old preacher said wisely, by the grace of God, just like we did. They're going to endure just like we did by the grace of God. And that's the only hope for any man. We live in a day when we need to have hope. We need a good hope, a sure hope. These are biblical terms too, a good hope, a sure hope. And that's the title of my message, A Christian Hope. A Christian Hope. In these times, we need hope. I want to talk to you just a few minutes, I hope, concerning hope that touches every facet of our lives. In the natural realm and in the spiritual realm. I'll say it again in the message, but I'll tell you now, a man who lives without hope is not really living, he's just existing. Just existing. That's all. We used to see people in our day back, I grew up poor part of the country, and we'd see people come in, you know, and had a big car and had a big farm. We knew who he was, you know, and said, now that's really living. That's really living. There's such a thing as really living, and there's such a thing as just existing. Just existing. I don't want to exist, and I don't have to merely exist. I have hope, and I want to encourage your hope this morning, if I can, by the grace of God. What is hope? It's in the Bible so many times. What is hope? It's more than wishful thinking. Well, I hope so. It's more than wishful thinking. You hope something turns out that way. It's more than that. And it's more than a mere desire. I've desired a lot of things I never had any hope of ever obtaining. Thank God now I don't even desire them. But I have desired things I had no hope of obtaining. And that's not a good way to live. But hope is the expectation of some future good. Something ahead, something in the future that you desire and look forward to and expect to find. That's what hope is. It's a hope, a certain expectation of something in the future. Looking on the bright side, it's a mental attitude, it's a frame of mind. Have a sure hope, expectation. I'm encouraged, not discouraged, I'm encouraged, I have hope. And hope is the expectation of some future good. And one has found a basis, a foundation for his hope. You have to have a foundation for hope, or it's just something silly, just silliness. You have to have a foundation. And in this world, a man may have hope and the foundation crumble and he'd be disappointed, but hope does have a foundation. There's some reason why you expect to achieve or reach a certain goal or come to a certain end. You have a foundation. Secondly, we said, what is hope? It is the sure, it is the expectation of some future good. Secondly, hope is so extensive an influence that it keeps the human race in motion. You think about that. What would we do if we had no hope? Man wouldn't go to college and spend all that money and waste all that time if he had no hope of getting a diploma. Oh. Hope keeps the world going. Even the blue collar man, he goes out and works with hope. That he takes his dollars and turns them into a roof over his head and food on the table and conveniences and comforts. There's a hope ahead. There's a future ahead. And he works with hope. He goes out, checks the clock, and checks in and out with hope. He's going to bring something out of this paycheck, something out of these hours sold, these hours spent in a factory or on the job someplace. Hope in this influence is vigorous and bold and enterprising. If you have hope of a certain end, yeah, I know I can make it. I have a sure hope. You're going to press on, regardless of what the difficulties are. Hope is vigorous and bold and enterprising. It causes men to encounter dangers. It causes men to endure severe hardships. And it causes men to surmount innumerable difficulties. And all these things to apply to the founders of this country that came over here with hope. We can do it. Others went before us. We can do it. Yes, I think I'll pack up my family and go. We can do it. And they came with a bright hope. Bright hope. In the natural realm, hope quickens and enlivens men to strive for certain goals. Future good things. Some desired end. It inspires men to do that. And I say this again. To be without hope is to be like Cain. He told God, he said, this is more than I can bear. And no future hope. No hope, no bright light out ahead. More than I can bear. No hope for tomorrow and the next day, 10 years from now. King Saul had a spin of time when he had no hope. The prophet said, you're cut off. God's through with you. You're going down. He finally fell on his own sword. No hope. And old folks without Christ. Oh, what an awful, awful thing. They're old. They lie on the deathbed. They're dying. And have no hope. If they're without Christ, they may have some hope, but it's false. It'll crumble around their head. Man's degree of hope determines his degree of progressiveness and strength and determination. Hope will cause a man to roll up his sleeves and spit on his hands and get in the battle. That's hope. A boy without hope. Oh, without hope. And I've tried to instill hope in my children. That they didn't get a job that they just had to put up with and survive and hate Monday morning and can't wait till Friday. I said, all three of you are wise enough, smart enough, intelligent enough, you can go out and learn any trade you want to learn. You don't have to do that. You can have hope. You've got the ability. You've got the ability. Then in the spiritual realm, hope is no less important in the spiritual realm. It excels every other hope like a pearl excels a pebble. Hope in the spiritual realm. Because Though the earth may crumble and though the stars may fall, we have hope. Hope in the Lord. Hope thou in the Lord. Doesn't matter what happens down here, we can still live with hope. Unless God please to intervene, this world's going down, and it won't be long, I don't think. But we have hope. Betty, we have hope. Hope is what Christianity is all about. We have hope. We're in the world, but not of it. We have hope. How can a man magnify the grace of God who does not have a living hope in that God? When his faith is so sickly, he hardly ever gets outside the confines of Doubting Castle. How can he have hope? How can he have joy, hope and joy in the Lord? The rejoicing of hope, the Bible says. Can't have that. Can't have that unless you've got some kind of faith. Who is willing to leave this world as long as his hope and joy is so feeble concerning things above? If I didn't have a sure hope, I'd be afraid of that deathbed. I would. For God's taught me some things. Those who enjoy God, they aren't so concerned about present enjoyments. Because we say with the psalmist, and what's said in the scripture several times, the Lord is my portion. What if you lose everything else and you have the Lord? You've got everything. You've got everything. The world is yours, Paul said. The world is yours. What? The world. It belongs to the believer. Hope. This is what William Gurnall said. Hope fills the afflicted soul with such inward joy and consolation that it can laugh while tears are in his eyes. It can sigh and sing all in one breath. It's called in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6, the rejoicing of hope. Rejoicing of hope. God gives His people hope. I want you to leave here this morning with hope. I want you to know that it's a good hope. I want you to know that it's a sure hope. And it can be if it's in God. What's your hope, God? It's my hope. What a foundation. A promise of God. A word from God. What a foundation for hope. God can't lie. I'll read something to you in a moment, but let's go on a little bit. God gives His people hope. 1 Peter 1:3, He hath begotten us again unto a lively, or better translation, a living hope. God, we're born of God, born again, unto a living hope. I have living hope. I have a living hope. Whatever else comes to pass, I've got hope. It's a sure hope. It's a living hope. It's a living, living hope. Not a dead thing, not a false thing. And then the Apostle Peter, he not only says God gives us this hope, this living hope, but he tells his people, be ready always to give an answer to anybody that asks you the reason of your hope. Somebody comes up and says, you have hope. What's the reason? What's the foundation of your hope? He said, be ready to tell him. Be ready to tell him. Not with haughtiness, but in meekness and fear. Be ready to tell him. We have a living hope. God's people have a living hope. We have a hope for the future. We have a hope for this life down here in our God. And we trust in Him from day to day. He gives His people hope. Now look with me to Hebrews chapter 6. I want to read this to you. I want you to read it with me. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 13. These words are so plain and so simple, and they're God's words. Words from God. Listen. Verse 13 of chapter 6, when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. The God who cannot lie said, just as sure as I'm God, just as sure as I'm God. David, that's what a foundation. Just as sure as I'm God, this is going to come to pass. You're going to have these children and these nations going to come out of you, just as sure as I'm God. And that promise was, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he'd patiently endured, he obtained the promise. You knew he would, didn't you? Because God said it. God said it. God said it, and Abraham believed. Men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to men an end of all strife. You make some kind of an agreement with a man or men, and you have witnesses, have it notarized, go down to courthouse, whatever, however it's done, however you want to do it, and that's an end. You're pretty sure it's going to happen. If it doesn't, somebody got his name on this oath, he's going to jail. God. Now listen to this. You're talking about condescending to us in our unbelief. God. Willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, the unchangeableness of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath. Justice. He said it, and then he swore to it. All God has to do is speak, and it comes to pass. But he said it, and then he swore to it. And he did that to give us stronger hope, consolation. Listen, read on. That by two immutable things, God's word, God's oath, which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that's set before us. Strong consolation. What's your hope? Give me a reason of your hope. Yeah, I'll turn here and read it to you. God said it. God said it. I'll read it to you. Which hope we have. Now look what hope does. As an anchor, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Oh, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Oh, what grounds for hope. God said it and God swore to it. What hope we have. Our hope's not based on feelings. Feelings come and feelings go. But the Word of God is certain. The Word of God is certain. I know that in believers, Paul said to the Thessalonians, he said, God has given you an everlasting consolation. Everlasting consolation and a good hope through grace. God has given you an everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. This hope can grow very dim and feeble in the life of a believer for different reasons. He gets involved with the cares of this world, and they kind of choke out his faith a while. Different things. Not giving diligence in the things of God, spiritual things, which we might say is quenching the Spirit. How can the Spirit of work if you don't use the Word? He can't and he won't. God, he's the Spirit of truth. He speaks through the Word of God. Ignoring these things. Now, hope. Bunyan said this one time, and it's true. Hope is never ill when faith is well. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is never ill when faith is well. I have saving faith. I believe what God said. I don't have any hope. No, that can't be. Because faith is the very foundation of hope. You can't separate the two. Faith is the very substance of things hoped for. They are inseparable. Romans chapter 4, I'm not going to turn there, but Abraham hoped against hope. He believed the word of God. God came to that man, that old woman, said, I'll give you a child. Sarah was too old to have children. Abraham was too old to have children. And yet he believed God. That's the foundation. That's the foundation of hope. And he lived out his days waiting for that child to come. Waiting for that child to come from day to day. He knew he was going to have a child. All the world, all the doctors, all the scientists, all the pediatricians, they said, no, it's impossible. Abraham said, no, it's not. God said it. And being fully persuaded that God was able to perform everything he said, he believed God. Believed God. And lived in hope. Believed God and lived in hope. It's like those in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. These all died in faith. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They were persuaded of them. God said it. And they embraced them. And they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims, just passing through this world looking for another country, a heavenly country, spiritual country. The way they live. In hope. In hope. In hope. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what this world's going to come to exactly. I know it's going down. God's going to break down. But your hope's in God. God is your portion. Be of good cheer. Weep for the world, but be of good cheer. God had been pleased to use the influence of hope to a great end in the lives of his people. We say, how's that? He set numerous promises before us. Persevere. Keep on. Lay hold of eternal life. Don't let it go. And the end shall be a crown of life, a crown of righteousness, a crown of glory. The end of our faith, the salvation of our souls. And then he allures them with the prospect of eternal glory. One day, everyone here who has saving faith is going to be made exactly like the Mediator, perfectly conformed to the image of the Son of God. Without sin, perpetual youth, never get old. We used to sing this old song back where I grew up, in a land where we'll never grow old. And we won't. It's an ever-present, never-changing eternity we'll live in. No sickness, no sorrow, no heartache. And the great joy of our hearts in the light of what we were is to sing praises to our great Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. God spared not his Son. Romans 8:32. I love this verse. God spared not his Son, but delivered him up for us all. Delivered him up to be a man. Delivered him up to be a servant. Delivered him up to be of no reputation. Delivered him up to suffering. Delivered him up to death, cursed death, on the cross, that he might deliver us from the curse. God, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us from the curse of the law. And he did. The Bible says these Old Testament priests, they offer the same sacrifices over and over, day after day, year after year, and never took away one sin. But this man, the God-man, When he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down. It's done. At the right hand of God. It's done. For by one offering, he perfected forever. Danny, he perfected forever those for whom he died. Perfected. And a couple of verses later, God said, and their sins and their iniquities, I'll never remember again. What a sacrifice. No wonder he sat down. It's done. They're put away. They're purged. They're gone. God said, I don't remember anything against them. Their sins are gone. I took them all and I put them on my son and I punished my son. And when he came out of the grave, they were all gone. They're all gone. All gone. That's a hope we have. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. To give an example or illustration of that, of the glory that's set before us, the hope, God uses hope to encourage us and keep us going. Our Lord Jesus Christ went through the same thing, and it tells us to follow his example. He had hope in life, hope in God in his life, hope in God in his death. In life, God said, I'll take your hand. You'll not fail. You won't be discouraged. You'll be a conqueror. In death, he said, I won't leave your body in the grave to suffer corruption. I'll raise you up. He died in hope. Lived in hope, died in hope. And the Bible says in Hebrews, it says, Christ, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and now sit at the right hand of the throne of God. Lived in hope, died in hope. And the end of his hope, sitting at the right hand of God, saving his people, the ones for whom he died. Now, let's have this question, and I'll close, try to hurry. Somebody might say, preacher, I can see that hope is very important in a believer's life. But the false religionists and the hypocrites, they have hope too. They live in hope. But the Bible says the hope of the hypocrites shall perish. But the question is, how can we know that our hope is real? How can we know if it has the proper foundation? I read it to you, the Word of God, the Son of God, the sacrifice of the Son of God. It has the right foundation. Number one, if we have a sure hope, it's because we've been shut up to the mediation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been shut up to Christ. We've looked other places, perhaps, but we never found hope. But when you look to Christ, you found hope and rest. Shut up to Christ. I mean by that you won't. You'll be like the Apostle Peter. Christ said, will you go away too? Peter said, where? No place else to go. You have the words of eternal life. And we know and we're sure that you're the Son of God. And we're shut up to the revelation of Christ, our minds and our hearts. Through this book, we know who he is. He is the Son of God, eternal God, become a man. He is now the God-man. And will forever be the God-man. There is a man like us sitting at the right hand of God in the heavens. And one day we'll be with him. We've learned who he is. We've seen him as he is. We've embraced him by faith. And we've experienced that rest which believers have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Christ said, what? You may find rest. He said, no, I'll give you rest. I will give you rest. Not something, you just venture on this promise. It's a sure thing. You come to me and I'll give you rest. You come to Christ, he'll give you rest. This is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And if you have the Son, you have it all. you have life and every spiritual blessing that God's prepared for his people. And we've experienced these things. Brother Farrell Griswold stood here in this pulpit one time years ago, preached a wonderful message on faith, saving faith, justifying faith. And as soon as he came down, some young man came up to him and said, how do you know that you're one of the people for whom Christ died? And Brother Griswold said something like this. He said, this gospel in this book, this gospel of the glory of God, it fits me. It fits my soul. It satisfies my soul. It's made for me. It's true of me. And it's true in me. It's my gospel. My gospel. Nothing else satisfies my soul but this gospel. And by the grace of God, I've made it mine. This message of the glory of God in the salvation of sinners finds a place in my soul. That's what he said, finds a place in my soul. I ask you this morning, have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? You think of who you are and what you are and what you deserve. Have you seen and tasted that the Lord is gracious? Do you receive joy and comfort from that gospel of the glory of the blessed God? Does that gospel comfort your heart? The gospel of the sovereign grace of God in Christ Jesus. Then I say unto you, as Paul said to the Corinthians, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's a hope set before you. Faith one day will be no more. You'll enter into your rest. The Bible said, whatsoever things were written aforetime, all this book, whatsoever things were written aforetime in the Old Testament were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Our hope is spelled out in this book. We comfort and encourage our heart through the reading and preaching of this book. James said, it's not doers of the word that are blessed indeed, but hearers. Hearers and doers. Hears and doers. Not just a hearer, but a doer. I said that wrong in the brain. Not just a hearer, but the doers. It is good. It is good. I leave you with these words. It is good. Not my words, but God's. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. God, help every one of us to do that. Quietly wait. Whatever comes to pass on this earth down here, our hope is in the Lord. Our citizenship's in heaven. May God bless his word to every heart.